Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Almost from the day it was founded in 1848, the folks in San Francisco have been making jokes about Oakland. Well, the jokes may live on, but Oakland is no longer that faceless other city across the bay.
This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Something called the Phenomenauts with the music, which I guess has become the Oakland A's victory song. It's the biggest series of the year starting tonight. Hey, it's mid-August. There may still be bigger to come. But for the Astros, certainly their biggest regular season series since 2016 late. Up 2 over Oakland, once 11.5 up over Oakland. 3-game set in Oakland. Starting tonight, Charlie Morton and Edwin Jackson. So to kick around some Astros and A's stuff, been quite a while since we've caught up on the radio. Vince Catronio, a name that many of you will recognize here, going back to the 90s as an Astros radio voice. 13th season now in Oakland, a stint with the Rangers in between. Vincent, I hope and trust your Friday's going well. How are you?
It is, Charlie. Good to talk to you. It's been so long. I've got 2 kids out of college and 1 that's a junior in high school. It's been a while since I've been in Houston.
So how big a deal is this series playing as out there?
Well, it's playing big for sure, but the one thing that got the A's to the position that they're at, and you mentioned the numbers where they were in June and where they are now in regard to not only the American League West, but the wild card where they've got a 2.5-game lead on the Mariners for the second wild card, and they're still within striking range of the Yankees, although closer to the Astros than they are to the Yankees. The one thing the A's have done very well, Charlie, in this stretch of unbelievable success of going with 38-13 in 51 games, is looking at today only. I mean, there have been so many times where people like us have said this particular series or this particular road trip will, quote-unquote, define the season. And they've kind of ignored all that stuff and just went about their business of playing today's game as best they can. And they say, we'll add them up at the end with how many wins we have, and hopefully it's good enough. And it has been a great ride watching this club really come together.
So at 34-36 and drifting along at the level of mediocrity, that was probably the prevailing forecast for the team this year. From then until now, what has most dramatically shifted?
Well, let me say I predicted this because I saw it coming. No, just kidding. No, if anybody saw this, they're crazy, especially for a club that's used 12 different starting pitchers. And they played Back to the Future with Trevor Cahill and Brent Anderson, who were with the club. As one was a high draft pick and one was a pretty key acquisition back in 2009 when they made their major league debut for the A's. So a lot of things have transpired. But the things that have really helped the club, at the top of the list is the lockdown bullpen. They have not lost the game with the lead out for the seventh inning all year. Blake Treinen was an all-star. He's commanded the baseball better than he ever has in the big leagues, you know, with the Nationals and coming to the A's, back to the organization that originally drafted him. Lou Trevino is a kid that was kind of moving along in the A's minor league system as a starter. They converted him to the bullpen, found some velocity, and now he's a key component to the end of the ball games as well. Then the acquisitions, Jeurys Familia and Fernando Roddy, they've got 4 closers basically at the back end of the game that Bob Melvin can mix and match with. So that's probably at the top of the list. The other side of it is the defense has improved, and especially the corners. The best defender in all of baseball, with all apologies to Alex Bregman, is Matt Chapman at third base, and it's not even close. The analytics play it out, the eye test plays it out, and now his offense has really come alive. I mean, the last month and a half, he's hitting over .350, and he's getting on base, he's scoring runs, he's driving the ball. Matt Olson has made more scoops at first base, you know, with low throws, saving errors, and gaining outs than any first baseman in baseball. And that's made Marcus Semien better. Former Astro Jed Lowry is an all-star. He's only committed 2 errors at second base. So he's not, in terms of range, the greatest in the world, but he catches everything and he makes plays, and his Yoda approach at the plate has really kind of blended some of the young players with a strike zone management approach that he had with the Astros several years ago. And, you know, the outfield has been good enough, and the starting pitching, even with the names we talked about, and Edwin Jackson's throwing tonight, who's with his 13th different team, the starters past couple weeks have an ERA under 2. So say what you want about the names. They're not the marquee names that the Astros have, but they've been performing.
Well, I want to iterate the one stat you referenced there, Vince. I mean, there are teams every season, not many, but a couple come close to being undefeated when leading after 8. That they are unbeaten when ahead after 7 innings this season is astounding. There's some randomness that comes with one-run games, right? A bloop hit, a questionable call, so on and so forth, as opposed to blowouts. But man, 25-10, do I have that right? The current number for the A's in one-run games. The Astros have a losing record in one-run games, and I think that's one simple way to explain why we have a race.
Sure, and you're right about those things. And the story in the first half was the Mariners and all their success of one-run games. Now, the difference for the Athletics that has since changed during that stretch was without Familia and without Rodney, there was a time where the A's last 9 outs were managed between Trinan and Trevino, and even Yusmeiro Petit at times, who's not as hard a thrower, but certainly has been consistent, take away the Gordon home run in the 12th inning 2 days ago. But they both pitched multiple innings, both Trevino and Trinan. They both want the baseball, and now they've been able to get some relief, if you will, with Familia now joining the club. He's thrown multiple innings on several occasions as an Athletic already. Fernando Rodney has it, but he has stepped in and he's pitched late in ball games. None of these guys, so Familia joining the club, Rodney joining the club, Sean Kelly coming from the Nationals as well, joining the ball club. You know, Mike Fiers joining the team as a starter, who A's fan or Astros fans certainly know. They've stepped into this clubhouse, Charlie, and they have recognized the vibe. They've recognized the hard work. They've recognized the competitiveness of this club. And they really just want to be a part of it. Now, Familia's been a closer. He's been in the World Series. Rodney's been a closer his entire life. Until last week, he was the active leader in saves. They're not rocking the boat. You know, they're participating. They're enhancing what the A's have. And I think that 1 through 25 togetherness, which doesn't happen very often, is something that has occurred with the A's this year.
Some can question a little bit defensive metrics. They're still not as good, I don't think, as offense. But vast progress has been made. War, to amplify on Matt Chapman, American League leaders, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, Matt Chapman's number 5. Just as a Houston frame of reference, you alluded to Bregman. There's no argument for Bregman for the Gold Glove this year. What do you think of Chapman versus early 90s Caminiti, who you saw day in, day out, year in, year out, purely defensively?
Well, they're two different players from this perspective. You know, watching Cammy all those years, he was just, you know, life and limb he would risk it at any moment with the ground ball hit to him. Tremendous quickness. Not nearly as good an arm as Matt Chapman, who threw 98 in college at Cal State Fullerton as a pitcher 1 year. Matt Chapman, one thing that distinguishes him from just about every other third baseman is his positioning. He plays deeper than any third baseman in either league by a wide margin. It allows him to get a longer look at the baseball. It allows him to have a better angle on a ball, either to his right in the foul territory or to his left, supporting Marcus Semien at shortstop, whose numbers have increased positively because of the range that Chapman has. And there's nobody in baseball that has the arm that Chapman has in the position, and that allows him to play where he does. He's come from that position. He's taken away bunts from D. Gordon. He's taken away bunts from Gerard Dyson, two left-hand speedsters who like the bunt. And he does so because this is something that he relishes. I mean, he wants, you know, take it from the movie. He wants the ball hit to him. He needs the ball hit to him. And if you watch him on a daily basis, take away the analytics, again, like the scout's eye test, Charlie, it's really not even close. You come to a game watching the A's, and you expect at least one play that gets you out of your seat with Matt Chapman involved.
Hey, any chance you know who leads the major leagues in home runs since opening day 2016?
Yeah, he's a DH for the A's. He's a quiet guy named Chris Davis. And all he does is hit home runs, and he hits them from foul pole to foul pole. You know, when the A's, Charlie, when I look at what's happening with the Astros this year, and I'm not saying it's going to happen like this, but reminds me a lot of the A's of 2014. And when the A's traded Yoenis Cespedes, they traded away the spotlight. And yes, they got John Lester, and yes, they got Jeff Samardzija, and they both pitched well down the stretch. And Lester did everything you asked him to do as a mercenary coming to the club, trying to get them beyond the first round. The offense was looking over their shoulder saying, where did the spotlight go? And the A's were caught and passed by the Angels, and they had to fight to the very last day to get into the postseason with that play-in game against the Royals. Now, what the circumstances with the Astros, is the Osuna dynamic something that plays along the same lines? I don't know. Haven't seen the Astros since they've gotten Osuna. We'll find out this weekend, and certainly talking to those players and coaches and listening to A.J. Hinch about that. It has been, you have to admit, it's been somewhat of a distraction, and the A's right now are playing such confident baseball, and they took 3 out of 4 from Houston, could have swept the series in Houston, you know, a few weeks back. The team that the Astros saw most recently is not the team that the Astros saw in the first half of the year when they won all 6 games at the Coliseum. So it's a different look. It's going to be a great battle all weekend. And this weekend does not determine anything, Charlie. We both know that.
Sure.
It'll maybe set the stage a little bit, but there's a lot of baseball to be played. The A's are still trying to catch, you know, the Astros. They're still trying to get in a postseason, and they're trying to do something that the Astros already have in their back pocket, which is a World Series championship. But I don't think you can discount the fact that they've been there, done that, coming into this time of the year, because that's something the A's really don't have. They've got confidence, they've got youth, they've got experience, and they've had success. But still, we both know late August and September baseball, when there's something on the line, is much different than try to chase somebody or try to be a spoiler, which the A's were last year when they went 17-7 down the stretch and swept 4 games from Houston in September last year.
Talking with one of the A's radio voices, Vince Catronio. A couple of other things before I let you go, Vince. Politely so, perhaps. Organizationally, is it giddiness about getting the Raiders out of there and maybe finally hope to get a clear, concentrated, baseball-only stadium?
Well, there's hope. I mean, this has happened long before I've been here, Charlie, and this is my 13th year with the club. So the storyline about where will the A's play, when will they get a brand-new stadium, has been going on for decades. And there's a sense they're closer. They say they've got 2 sites, and the Raiders have 2 more years left to play in the city. Then they move to Las Vegas. They only have 1 more year left on their contract at the Coliseum. It's up to the county and the city to decide if the Raiders are going to come back for that second year, if they're actually going to kick them out and make them play it, you know, down at UNLV in Vegas or play someplace else in the Bay Area, if that's what they have to do. They've looked at a site on the water in what's called the Howard Terminal site near Jack London Square, where they feel like they can develop the property around the stadium, because to have a stadium is one thing, but you, in order to pay for it, and it's privately financed 100% by the Athletics ownership, you still need housing, you need entertainment, you need restaurants, you need other ways to generate dollars through other buildings around the stadium, which for 50 years has not happened at the Coliseum, even though that's one of the sites they're still talking about. So they say by the end of this calendar year, they'll have something. They said that last year, Charlie. They picked a site which was close to downtown. They did a gigantic computer animation, had a big rollout of what they were seeing for 2023, and 2 months later, the people that they were going to buy the land from backed out. So, it's still stay tuned. When they get a shovel in the ground, I'll be excited. Until then, it's a political football. It's been kicked all over the Bay Area.
Leaving the Mariners out, giving A's broadcaster understandable and plausible bias, what percentage chance do you give the A's of winning the AL West over the Astros?
I would say, you know, to win the division, I would have to say maybe 50-50. That's being optimistic, because the bottom line is, no matter how good the A's offense is, no matter, you know, how good the bullpen is, no matter what this kind of put together with duct tape rotation has done, you have to pitch with Houston, and you have to pitch with them every single day. Now, once they get through these off days, they've got to finally replace Lance McCullers in the rotation. There might be a spot for some vulnerability. And for right now, with no Altuve, with Correa, really not Correa yet coming off the disabled list, he's like 2-for-23, and Springer maybe coming off tonight, you believe the same thing, it's going to take him a few days to get his feet underneath him. This weekend is something that can help the A's in that regard. But still, you're facing Morton, and you're facing Keuchel, and you're facing Verlander. It's not like you expect to win 9-1 or have games that are 8-7. It's going to be, you know, playoff-type baseball where every at-bat with a runner at third base and less than 2 outs matters. You've got to make the plays defensively, and you got to make the right moves with your bullpen and hope that the matchups work. So 50-50, I think, at best, because they're the champs. You got to knock off the champs. The A's have the confidence to do it. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. The first of six left with them. But I am more than that confident about the A's going to the postseason this year.
Vince, thanks. We'll see you here in 10 days.
That was great, Charlie. Always great to talk to you.
Vince Catronio, one of the voices of the Oakland A's. And I'll be curious. It doesn't matter if you're an Astros fan here in Houston. What kind of crowds they'll draw. But for a weekend series with these stakes, with the World Series champs there, they should get at least 20,000 for each of the three games. I'm thinking they'll actually get 30. They'll probably give away some bobblehead or something tomorrow night. Need to get our last break in. We are way, way late for it. So let me hop to it for Texas Citizens Bank. Six Houston area locations, and they are all about Houston. Texas Citizens Bank is independent and locally owned. They are full service, but with a special emphasis on commercial banking needs. And you can narrow that down to small business help. Right, the little guy, if you will. If you're getting something off the ground or you're up and running and growing nicely, but you can use help with facilities or equipment or a line of credit, Texas Citizens Bank awaits your call or click. Their website is texascitizensbank.com. Specifically, in the area of SBA loans, Texas Citizens Bank rates near the top of Houston, beating out a host of the national mega banks. No calls are ever going to be outsourced to another continent. TexasCitizensBank.com, truly local relationship banking. Mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.